Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to be talking pottery this morning, specifically the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. It is coming up on June the 10th, and we've got two people here to talk about it this morning. Trista Chapman is here and Scarlett Pond's here. Good morning to both of you.
Hi, good morning.
You have both been in, but for different reasons over the years. This is the first time we've really talked pottery with you two, and that's really what you're known for.
That's right.
So we are glad to have you here. It's the first annual Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. I guess it's going to be first annual. Is that right,
Sophia? It is first annual. Hopefully many, many more years to come.
So talk about this, what's going to happen on June the 10th. It's from 10 to 5. I'm guessing it's on Sophia Street, and I'm guessing pottery's involved.
It's going to be right in front of Sophia Street Studios. We're going to block the street off, and we have about 20 different booths that will be set up across the street from where my studio is downtown. And we're going to have live art demonstrations, live music, and we're going to be hoping for really nice weather.
And lots of pots for sale.
Yes.
This is your chance, I guess, to be around a lot of pottery at once.
Definitely, and there's going to be a really nice variety. That's what I'm really excited about. I'm amazed that we've been able to have the variety of different potters come for this first annual show.
How did this all come about?
Well, I guess you'd say I've had it in my mind. I participate in a small show in Richmond called the 43rd Street Gallery. Mm-hmm. I'll give Robin Cage a plug. She started a little over 20 years ago, and that's where I'm from. And I've helped that show and then participated in it for 20 years now. And it's just a wonderful, small little show that kind of takes over the neighborhood in Richmond. And I've always had the thought that Fredericksburg needs to have a show like that. It's just been really great. It has a great feeling, really family-oriented,
yeah.
And real nice variety of work and artists.
Scarlett, you're over on Caroline Street, the
yes.
pawn shop, and you deal with pottery there. And you've been in here before, and we've talked downtown. And you both are, but you've been on the Main Street Committee and just a big proponent of downtown. This has got to excite you.
This is. I mean, when I first heard about this through Trista and Dan Finnegan, my first thought was finally. You know, I felt like this was a festival that downtown needs and that we should have. We have this ceramic community that's been quietly growing for how many years now, Trista?
Oh, at least I'd say 10 in
yeah,
strong years.
10 solid years, like since I... Yeah,
since the start of Liberty Town, really.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's really gotten bigger and bigger.
And we have a lot of the potters that have been here for, you know, for a decade or more. Mm-hmm. So we have this really great... like Trista was saying, diverse community. And this is the perfect way to kind of showcase that and celebrate that and invite people out to it. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised that they have a neighbor that's a potter mm-hmm. and that might even have a studio yeah. set up in their, you know, at home or in their garage or in their backyard. So a good introduction.
And we're going to talk about that, about the ceramic community, as you called it, as we go along this morning. But Trista, the last time you were here was when we were talking about the Empty Bowl a few years ago. And there, a lot of people there like that event for a number of reasons. But one of the things is you get a table full of bowls to pick from. This
right.
is going to be a whole day of not only bowls, but I would guess really a big selection.
Definitely. There's going to be sculptural work. There are some artists, you know, that don't make functional work that will be here. And people will really get to see a variety of different types of work that they've never probably experienced or realized that it's even pottery. It's actually clay, and there's so many things you can do with clay. So this is going to be a really good way for people to see for themselves.
I saw somewhere the list of people that are going to be involved, and it's really a big list.
It is. It's very diverse, and Dan Finnegan is sort of our father of all this. Yes. He's giving us all the direction and really helping a lot with the organizing and getting, you know, getting us the things that we need. And he's been around town for, well, since, he probably doesn't want to say that, at least the early 80s he's been around, yeah. And people really know him as sort of the father of pottery in Fredericksburg. So we're very lucky to have him with us, and I think people are going to be really impressed.
Well, I hear a lot about Sophia Street Pottery, so if he's the father, you at least have to be a daughter or something, Krista.
Well, my deceased husband, Phil Chapman, was a wonderful potter in town. Yeah. And he's actually the one that was first at the Fredericksburg Pottery, and Dan took over his job when Dan came to town. So
okay.
Phil was, I mean, we owe a lot of credit to him for doing a lot for the town with pottery. And I personally do, with the beautiful studio that I have and the nice place I have to work, is all due to Phil and what, you know, the legacy that he left. And so this is another, it's a little sideline, but for me, it's another way I can sort of pay homage to him.
Yeah.
And keep his name around is by having a show like this in a place that he brought around. It's the reason why it's there is because of him.
Well, and you have done that, because I have seen things over the years of where you have ALS mm-hmm. fundraisers
right.
and do
right.
a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Try to, you know, keep the awareness up for ALS and the horrible illness that it is, and keep Phil's name around, just because he was a wonderful person and did a lot for the town.
Yeah. Scarlett, this is for someone who is so connected to downtown. We talked about how exciting this has to be. This is another step in I think people not just looking at the downtown as it's just a bunch of antique shops.
Yes.
We're way past that.
We're so past that now. It's really, you know, it's really exciting. I mean, that's a huge part of it. But when we've always looked at, you know, growing our downtown, how can we bring new life back into it? Art always seemed to be a really important part of that. And it works so well with the historic side of our downtown. So you have mm-hmm. art and history, and they work really well together. And we have also part of our show, we have, you know, 20-some potters, but we're also working really closely with the University of Mary Washington. And their ceramics professor there, John McMillan, he's getting ready to build, he started building a wood kiln at the university. And it will be the only university in Virginia that has a wood kiln. And I was asking him, you know, why he chose that type of kiln. He said, because of the Fredericksburg's so historic, and wood kilns are, you know, they go back thousands mm-hmm. and thousands and thousands of years. And he just thought that was a good fit for Fredericksburg and its history. So there's always that connection between history and art. And again, having a ceramic festival in Fredericksburg just adds another layer to the history we already have here. And contemporizing it and moving that story, we're kind of moving that story forward now.
Yeah. Well, and to have it over on Sophia Street, how much of Sophia will be blocked off?
It'll just be the block, like in between Amelia and Lewis Street.
Okay,
it's that one block. But,
yeah,
there's going to be a lot going on. We're going to have live music, and we're going to have chalk drawing for kids on the street, and we're trying to really make it a family event where you could, you know, bring your whole family and have a lot of fun.
You've got just the river right over
right.
there.
There's
right across from your shop is an open field.
It's
right
an
now.
Open field, and that's where the artists will be set up.
Okay.
And their tents there, and hopefully the restaurant across the street should be open too. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
We're hoping.
It is the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. It's June the 10th from 10 to 5. And we are talking about it this morning. Trista Chapman here, Scarlett Pons. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking to Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. It is this is going to be the first year of this annual event. It's on June the 10th, 10 to 5. And it is over on Sophia Street, over by Sophia Street Studios. Trista Chapman here, Scarlett Pons here. Trista, I was telling you during the break, I've never been in your store, but I want to just because you've got the coolest chairs out front. I mean, they have just this, just a very.
It's my abstract pattern that I've kind of.
I was gonna say it's some kind of a pattern.
For.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, it's very inviting.
That's pretty much what my work looks like too. So people know that when they see those chairs, they say, "Oh, that's where she is."
Okay. Oh, so how did you come about that being your pattern? Is that something that came
over time? Well, it's evolved over time. Okay. Yeah, I would do, you know, some triangles and put some squiggles and dots over top of that, and then I started layering more and more, and then scratching through, and before you know it, that was where I settled.
And it's now, bright and colorful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, I'm told by people, they're like, whenever they see that, they know that that's my work. So it's been good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you can pick Trista's work out anywhere. I love it. Like if I'm at somebody's house and you see, you know, you see a piece of hers, you're like, I know exactly who made that. Make no question.
Wow. And that's good and bad. I'm very happy. It's taken me a long way, you know, and I'm happy with where I am, but I would like at some point to make some new work. I've gotten kind of in a place where that's what I do, and people ask for more, and they tell me, you know, you better keep making this because we want to get more. And I love that. I love to hear that. But I also, as an artist, want to grow and maybe, you know, potentially change the look sometime.
Yeah.
In the future.
That's what this show is good for. Maybe
that's right.
I'll let you introduce new work. Yeah.
So, Scarlett, do you have as a potter yourself, do you have a certain look?
I guess we all do. You know, it's hard to look at your own work and at least I do. I find it hard to look at your own work and kind of say, do I have, you know, a look to it? I always think of my work as being a little more quieter. I like to do super functional pieces. So I feel like it always sounds funny, but I like to do really functional pieces that work at home, a lot of kitchen stuff. So I love sponge holders and spoon rests and.
Well, you also have an architecture background. And I feel
do.
Like I can see that in your work with the clean lines and the design.
Yes, that's it. I still
it's beautiful.
Very
it's,
much
it, she's
so think like
simple,
an architect.
Like more, you know, just clean and it's just really, really, really nice work.
Thank you.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, Scarlett, a couple minutes ago, you were talking about the professor at UMW who's is putting in a wood kiln. I guess in my mind. Everybody had a wood kiln, but everybody does it differently?
Everybody does it differently. I use an electric kiln at my studio because it's what fits in my space, and it's a lot quicker and easier to use, honestly, an electric kiln, especially when, you know, you have kids and a home studio. And
I have electric kilns, and then I also have a gas kiln in the backyard that I rent to people. Because I don't use it with my work, but electric kiln fits my work also.
And then Dan Finnegan uses a wood kiln at his country studio. So, you know, there's all these different ways to fire your pots, and each way makes your work look totally different.
That's what I was going to ask you.
So it'll be an education in that, too, because you'll be able to walk in everyone's booth and you'll see everyone's work. And if you go there, you should ask the potter, how are you firing your work? And then after a while, you can start to understand that yourself. When you see a piece, you can say, oh, yeah, I think that's probably a wood-fired piece because it's got such a different look than something that comes out of electric or something that comes out of a gas kiln. You know, there's colors are different, textures are different.
It affects the glaze in different ways. So you can start to figure that out once you talk to a few different potters.
Interesting. So I had no idea. So, and I would guess with a wood kiln, it's I guess just for the getting to the temperature you need and adjusting for it, it's
stoking
kind of a
it
skill.
With wood for hours and hours and hours overnight.
24 hours.
Yeah. You're wow.
So very tired at the end of a wood firing. It takes usually a few people because you take shifts sticking the wood into the
because you've got a
box.
And it's a slow process, so you have to start out, you know, with a low temperature, and then over the 24 hours or however long it takes, you slowly build up that temperature because you don't want to shock your pieces. So, you know, you have your big stack of wood, and then all night long you're slowly stoking it. It's a really
beautiful
process, and it's a really kind of, how can you say without sounding too hippie or too cheesy? Like, it's a really, like, you know, like, this, it's just really this process because you have, you know, you have your, you know, your clay that, you know, you're mud and you're fire and you're outside and you're under the stars and hopefully the weather's nice. And
it could be romantic, I
suppose. Yes, romantic's a better word. It's a very romantic process.
As long as you
process.
Have help and somebody to chop your wood for you.
And exhausting. And again, you're connecting to a process that goes back, you know, thousands of years.
Yeah.
And it's the
it's
way
a primitive
people,
process.
Yeah, it's the way people fire their pots all over the world. You know, you have people that use wood kilns in Japan and China and Korea. I mean, you name it, everywhere.
And you'd have to have a lot of wood, I would think.
A lot of wood.
A lot.
Yeah. You need to have a big, strong, young, strapping person to help you chop the wood.
And I guess you're not, if you're using a wood kiln, is it bigger than most? Because you'd want to do more than just a pot or two if you're putting that much effort into
Usually
it.
Usually people do larger loads with a wood kiln. You work maybe, you know, a month or so to make the work to put in something like that. Whereas an electric kiln, you might be able to fill that with just a week's worth of work. I mean, there are different sizes, too. Electric kilns.
Yeah.
You can have very small ones up to really large
to
ones.
Really big ones.
So it's up to you how you want to work and how many pots at a time you want to fire.
For the electric kilns that you all use, how often do you use them? Because you said you can do a week at a time or something?
Mm-hmm. I probably average every 2 weeks firing.
Okay.
But we do a bisque firing. The first firing is called a bisque firing, and then you do a glaze firing. So usually in the bisque firing, you have a lot more pots because you can stack them on top of each other and fire a lot more at one time. Whereas the glaze firing, they have to all be separate. They would stick to each other. So you don't get as many finished in a glaze firing.
So it's a process. You know, I tell everybody, you know, everybody always wants to ask, the number one question you get asked as an artist is, how long did it take you to make this piece? And I'm like, that is just an unfair question.
Because
it's, you know, you make the piece, and then in pottery, a lot of times people don't understand, you have to let that piece dry. And depending on the humidity in Virginia, like, it could take a couple days, or in summer, it could take a week or two, because the humidity's so high. And then once your piece is dry, then like Trista was saying, you do the first firing. Then you take it out, and then you glaze everything. You put your color on it, and then it goes to a second firing, and then your piece is done. And you know, depending on what you do after that, sometimes you want to photograph it. Sometimes you just want to hang on to it.
Somebody asked me how long it takes. The answer for me would be like 30 years. That's how long I've been doing it.
Yes.
I mean, really.
That's my favorite answer that people give.
Yeah.
It does, even if it's just something what people would consider simple, like a mug. You say, yeah, it's taken me however long to get to this point to make this one piece. Mm-hmm. It's been, you know, 10 or 30 years of experimenting.
Well, I am certainly glad I didn't ask you how long it takes, because you would have said that's an unfair question. I would have felt bad. But how did you get involved? What, Trista, what drew you to do this? Because there is a lot to just, like Scarlett said, just even a mug.
Well, I would say I started actually when I was 8. I was at a school that my dad started on Long Island, and there was a woman that was one of the mothers of one of the kids in the class that was a potter. And I followed her around, and I just was mesmerized immediately by clay and the hands-on feeling. And I helped her build a kick wheel back in those days, and it was a long time ago. And then I would sort of get out of it for a while and then get back to it and do clay projects in school. And eventually I took classes in Richmond at a place called the Hand Workshop. And I just kept taking classes because I didn't have a studio. And so finally, the teacher there, who is actually participating in this show, he was one of my first teachers. He's going to be at this show. He recommended me to be a helper for two potters in Richmond. And one of those people is also going to be in the Pottery Throwdown. So I have, it's going to be really fun for me to have some of those people that were integral in my, you know, development as a potter that are going to be in this Pottery Throwdown. So, and then I worked for those people for about 7 years, and they kind of finally pushed me out of the nest and said, you need to go do your own thing, and you know, people will buy the work you're making. So I did Arts in the Park for the first time in 1995.
In Richmond.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I sold everything I had in that show. I didn't have one piece left, and I thought, okay, maybe I can do this. Since I don't really feel like I know what I'm doing, and I'm doing this well, I'll just go ahead, quit my full-time job and try this. And yeah. that's been 22 years now.
Wow.
So there's so much experimenting.
It was a leap of faith.
And there's so much experimenting when you're a potter. I feel like it's never-ending experimenting with your work. And I don't know, do you feel like you're constantly learning things,
well,
too?
I am.
Like you're constantly learning.
And clay is the teacher. I mean, you can think that you're doing the same exact thing every day, and you haven't changed a thing, and all of a sudden something happens, and maybe the formula and the glaze changed, or the clay changed, or clay is always teaching you, because you always have to figure things out, yeah. no matter how long you've been doing it. Mm-hmm. There's always something to figure out.
How did you get over? Were you doing this when you were 8 years old, Scarlett?
I went to school for architecture, graduated as an architect, but the dean at the time at Tech, Ellen Broughton, she was a potter, and she taught a ceramics class through the architecture department. So I was taking ceramics just as, like an extra class to take, and I fell in love with it immediately, and I didn't think I was going to do it professionally at that point. It was just something fun to do, and I just went through this really, like, arduous six-year architecture program, so I was going to do that, and I worked in that field professionally for about 7 or 8 years, but the whole time I was doing pottery on the side. And then it just got to the point where I wanted to take that leap of faith. I was getting tired of the schedule of architecture, but I also was, it was like Trista was saying, there was something about the hands-on. And I really liked making things with my hands, and I was missing that in architecture. My mom kind of brought me to Fredericksburg by saying there's a new studio that just opened up. It was Liberty Town then, and they have a ceramic part of the studio. You should come and check it out. So I came down with my husband, and as soon as we saw Liberty Town and saw what they had to offer, I was like, all right, this is it. So we left New York and came to Fredericksburg, because the whole thing with the potter, too, is like you have to have space. Like, all your equipment's kind of expensive, and it's mm-hmm. kind of big. You know? So you have to have, you have to have a kiln, and you have to have, you know, space to make your work. And then if you're making your own glazes, it's all the different, you know, kind of minerals you're using for that, so it's messy. And Liberty Town had all of that, and so we packed up and came here. So again, what Trista was saying before, with a kind of our the people in this town who started a ceramics community years ago has helped a lot of us newer people to come here and stay, because they established that foundation for us to build on. Mm-hmm. And it was great. When we came here, there was this whole small ceramics community that was welcoming and willing to kind of share resources and ideas, and then you go from there.
Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. It is Saturday, June the 10th from 10 to 5 on Sophia Street. Trista Chapman, Scarlett Pons here. We'll continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, our focus this morning. It's June 10th, 10 to 5, it's Sophia Street Studios. Trista Chapman here, Scarlett Pons here, and I guess Sophia Street Studios, you're kind of the home base for this.
That's right. It's going to be right in front of the studio in that block of Sophia Street. We'll have the street blocked off at either end from Amelia to Lewis. And we're going to have the demonstrations right out in front of the studio. And the booths will be across the street in the field. And you'll be able to see Chatham across the river.
Yeah. It's a great place. And if the weather's great that day, it'll be something.
It's going to be. It has to be.
We've had enough rain. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, by that time.
But it is a rain or shine event. So please come out, even if it looks cloudy.
That's true, because pottery doesn't melt in the rain.
That's right.
You know, we could stand out in the rain.
It'll never hurt.
Well, and this would be a great, bring your kids.
That's right.
Yeah. Because it'd be a family event. Because they would see some things up close that they may never have seen before.
And we're planning to have a booth where we have the Mary Washington College booth, and some of those kids are going to volunteer to help and have some hands-on with children, with clay. So there'll be things for kids to do.
I was going to ask, I figured you said demonstrations and all, so I guess you'll have
Some places where kids can play with clay, and we're going to have chalk drawing on the street, and it's going to be a really nice event for the entire family.
One of the things, because we've talked about kilns this morning, and I make no bones that I don't know much about this at all, and you have all been the teachers this morning, but to do this, you really get your hands dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I often look down at myself. I'll go to the grocery store or something when I've been working. I look down, I've got clay from the head to toe.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, I guess I should have looked at that before I left the house.
No, because I've seen videos and you see people doing it, and it really is something you get into.
It's messy, but I call it a clean mess. I don't think of clay as actually dirt, even though it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a clean mess.
Part of this, we should mention, is a couple of aspects to the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. And Powerhouse is a beneficiary of all of this.
That's right. Dan is probably right now as we speak throwing a large pot, and that I'm going to decorate, and we're going to raffle that off with it benefiting in Powerhouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how big a pot is this? It sounds
like I haven't seen it yet, but I'm hoping I'll see it this week because I have to glaze it. And he said he was going to be making it over the weekend. So he said it's going to be a very nice big bowl is what he's making.
Okay.
So it should be fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would think there'll be a lot of, you've got so many groups, people involved in this. There's going to be and everybody's unique and different.
Yes.
It's going to be, there'll be a lot of pottery stuff.
Nobody's work is alike anybody else's. That's what's so exciting about this event.
Not at all. And from so many different experiences and backgrounds too, which I find so interesting. We were just saying, you know, there's going to be potters there that have just been doing this professionally for a year, and then potters that have been doing this professionally for 30 years or more. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have that whole kind of scope of talent and work, and everybody's work does look so different. Everybody uses different clay. Everyone uses different decorating techniques. Some people put a lot of imagery on their work, like really fun imagery on their work or abstract designs. Some people's work is really clean and contemporary. So, you know, there'll be something for everybody. However you like to decorate your house, there'll be a piece of pottery there. And again, it kind of falls in line too with the big shop small movement that's been happening over the years. It's this idea that, you know, you're eating. It's like kind of the shop small movement, the eat local movement, supporting your farmers, the farmers market. And pottery, again, is such a good fit for that. And Fredericksburg has such a good community for that. That a lot of times, you know, you put so much thought and energy into, I'm going to buy local food, I'm going to grow my own food. But then what are you eating that food on? You know, so this is just another way to kind of bring that idea into your house, that you can be serving and eating and surrounding yourself by local made pottery. And this is putting money right back into your local economy, because a lot of us potters, this is what we're doing full time and professionally. A lot of us there, we're not doing this as a craft or a hobby or something we do on the weekends. This is, believe it or not, our full-time job. So it's a great way to support that. And then when you start to see how many people in your community are actually doing that, we were all surprised. Like, when we put that list together, be like, wow, look at the list of us that are all pretty much neighbors with each other within a, you know, 15-mile radius, you know, all making a go at this together.
Well, and you think things like now this and Art Attack and just a number of arts things that are really a big diversity that you can draw people to Fredericksburg on now.
And really unique to Fredericksburg. That was the other thing I really loved about this festival is I've been looking kind of just personally, like what is something that's really unique to Fredericksburg? Something like Art Attack. You know, Art Attack is that is a Fredericksburg event. You won't find that event anyplace else. It celebrates all the local, you know, all the local art, but a big focus on painters and plein air painters. And even though a lot of us potters jump in on that, it's, and so this is like the sister to that, to that event, where here's another local event. You won't find it anywhere because its focus is, you know, the ceramics that's here in Fredericksburg and the history of our pottery here in Fredericksburg. So it's just exciting to see that. We've seen a lot of other events that, you know, you can kind of find, you know, in other places across the, you know, Virginia, the country. But this is really, you
there's
know,
unique
to us.
There's only a couple shows that just have pottery. That's sort of a newer idea, too.
Yes.
Most of the shows I participate in have all types of art.
That's true.
So just focusing on pottery makes it really special.
Well, and you wonder how many people are out there doing this on the side. They come to this, look at it, and maybe they become like you, Trista, and say, you know, I could do this.
Right.
And this could spawn a whole new group of potters.
And also on that note, we're going to have a clay supplier there, too. So he'll be selling tools and supplies and things. So maybe some people that are there that maybe have tried it once or twice or aren't sure will pick up some tools there and a bag of clay and go home and give it a go.
Give it a shot. Yeah, it's Clay Works from Richmond, and they're great. You know, they really are kind of you know, our lifeline for a lot of us local potters, that we have somebody so close within an hour drive that we can get a lot of our supplies from.
Yeah.
So they'll be out that day.
Very good company.
I never thought of that. That's the whole other thing. To do this, to do it, you have to have a place to get supplies.
Right.
It's nice, too. A lot of people don't. A lot of people will get stuff shipped to them. And again, everything's heavy.
Yeah.
Everything in pottery is
I just got a ton of clay last Friday. Yes. I know it's heavy. I had to move that inside and upstairs. So
it's nice if you could not have to have that shipped all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot to this. I never thought about the heavy clay. And you mentioned, Scarlett, about the equipment is sometimes big and expensive. So there is a lot to this.
It takes a long time to build up your studio. You know, and when I first started, I rented this little corner in this very old brownstone in Brooklyn, New York. There was a woman there who was a potter, and it was dark, and it was dusty, and it was just a little tiny corner, but it was just enough to get started. And then, you know, you just start. That's the most important aspect, is you start somewhere, you know, one table, one shelf, and then over the years you slowly start to build up your studio.
I started in a room in my little house in Richmond, and boy, that's not a good idea either.
No,
you don't want a clay studio in your house.
Then you have little dusty handprints all over the place.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, it wasn't a good plan. So I was lucky to move to Fredericksburg and get a nice studio here.
Well, and Scarlett is over on the pawn shop is over on Caroline Street, just down from the visitor center. Trista, you're over on Sophia Street, right near the library.
Right.
Basically, if you go behind the library and look to the right, you're going to see those colorful chairs.
That's right.
And which I didn't know, it has your design on it.
That's right. It helped put me on the map. They were kind of a last minute thought. I got them. The chairs were given to me from Maury School when they developed that and made it into the condominiums. And the guy there that was doing the renovations gave me the chairs, and I had them in the basement for a while, and I kept thinking, I don't know what to do with these. And then one day I looked out front and I realized they would fit perfectly between the two pillars. So that's how the idea came.
So are they for sale, or is that part of your signature?
Price, I suppose anything is.
True.
Right now they're drilled into the concrete and they're kind of installed, but I could uninstall them for the right price.
I guess you're hoping that a lot of people from around here and maybe even out of town
come
to this.
Yes.
Especially, Trista, since you've said that there are not a lot of these kind of shows in Virginia.
No, there really aren't. There's one that just started in Standardsville in September that I did last year for the first time. And this will be the third year for that show. But that's and then Dan Finnegan has his own show called Pottery on the Hill. That's usually right around Halloween, that weekend.
In D.C.
In D.C. at the Hill Center.
Okay.
But other than that, those are the only shows that I know of around here that are just clay. Mm-hmm. And so it really sets it apart, makes it a very unique show.
This is it's a first for Fredericksburg. It's the first annual Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. Is Pottery Throwdown,
we just sat around trying to think of a fun name that sets us apart from everybody else, and it's kind of what you do. You throw the clay. That's what they call it, throwing,
yeah.
And you make pots. So it just made sense. Mm-hmm.
And as part of the flyer, it's like a teapot that mm-hmm. I guess has been made, and it is the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown. It's Saturday, June 10th from 10 to 5 on Sophia Street, obviously. Trista Chapman, Scarlett Pons here. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFEA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We are a preview in the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown that takes place June the 10th on Sophia Street, 10 to 5 that day. From the pawn shop on Caroline Street, Scarlett Pons here, and Trista Chapman here from Sophia Street Studios. I guess for something like this to happen, there's lots of groups and lots of people help make Scarlett something like this happen.
Yes, and we'd like to thank the Fredericksburg Arts Commission. We actually won a grant from them, and that helped us get a lot of our promotional items actually together from mm-hmm. their grant. So a big thank you to them for their support.
Yeah.
And then we have a couple other sponsors that are going to be helping us that day. We have Eileen's
and the Happy Clam and the Hyperion. They're all going to be helping us. We're going to have a little promotional item in each booth. People that sell mugs, if you buy a mug, you get a little coupon with that. And those three businesses, the Happy Clam, the Hyperion, and Eileen's, are offering the Hyperion's offering $1 off with a purchase of a mug to any of their beverages or things in the Hyperion. And then Happy Clam is offering 10% as well as Eileen's. If you bring the mug in, you can get it filled up with a beverage or buy a lunch or
for that day of the event.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a fun idea that we
thought.
That's
very fun, yeah.
Yeah, kind of working with our businesses that are located mm-hmm. close to Sophia Street Studios. Just again, it's kind of bringing attention to that part of downtown, which I always think is funny because our downtown's small. Like, we shouldn't have outskirts of our walkable downtown,
Sophia
but we do
Street
have
kind
outskirts,
of.
And
yeah.
it's literally probably a 3-minute walk
right.
from Hyperion.
But
to
there's
you know.
Such a difference in the amount of business that our street gets compared to like Caroline Street or William Street.
Yeah,
it's hard to get people to come down around the corner. It's mm-hmm. amazing. People come in my shop all the time and say, "Oh, is this new? Is this when did yeah. this open?"
And it's
we've
been
there
years.
Since 1982. So
yeah.
that tells you something.
Right. No, you're
we need a little help.
So how did this, I can imagine, Trista, that you did this down and went and you participated in a show in Richmond, and then you mentioned it to Scarlett, and Scarlett mm-hmm. would have said, "Well, we need that in Fredericksburg.
Yes.
I know
yeah.
people."
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We were all over it.
We've all been looking to have a nice show in Fredericksburg. It's just, it took, Dan actually was the one that just gave me a little shove in January because I kept talking about it, and he said, "We're doing this. We are doing this." And I thought he meant maybe a year from now, like we'll start planning and we'll do
yeah.
it in 2018. He said, "Oh, no, we're doing it this year. Come on, let's go." And he just took, it really took someone like him to
light the fire.
Oh, I didn't realize. So, boy, Scarlett, when you sent me an email and said, "This is what we've got planned," it must have just
happened.
We
had that conversation.
It just came together in January. Yes. It's only been since January.
We
so
didn't
I'm
have
very
a logo.
No.
We didn't have, you
but
know.
I have to thank Scarlett and Rachel Ruddle. I tell you, they have been so wonderful to work with. They've done all the graphics, putting together brochures and banners and designing the logo. And Maddie.
Yeah.
You know, Maddie's really...
Maddie Huddle, who works for us, has done all the graphic design for us, and she's done such a great job.
She's done a wonderful job. But without them, I'm a Potter. I don't do anything with the computer very well at all, except maybe get my email. So I was going to be lost without a really good crew of people that they have been to help with that part.
Well, this is the first annual Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, and like we've said, the list is long, and there are, like you both have said, there's a lot of people around here involved in this, and I think for a lot of people, just that day to go down to that section of Sophia Street that's closed off, and to see all that's there, and to realize that much of it is here, it's going to be pretty cool, and you can pick up gifts and all kinds of things.
Definitely,
yes.
Meet your local potter. Yeah. Come support and meet your local potter.
That's it.
And a couple of takeaways from this. There are a lot of you around here. I didn't realize that it was even referred to, Scarlett referred to it as the ceramic community.
Yes.
I like that.
We actually have a ceramic community here.
That was just a new term to me. And we talked kilns. And who knew that hanging around a kiln sometime could be romantic? We also learned that. Right.
Well, everybody's seen the movie Ghost, so
right.
Think about that when, you think about pottery.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened to me yet, but anyway, there's hope.
It's a 10 to 5 is the Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, and there'll be demonstrations and things like that?
That's right. We're going to have people throwing on the wheel, and there will be potters in their booths also demonstrating different decorating techniques, and you're going to do
coil pot that day.
Yeah.
Which will take me probably most of the day to do. So
that'll be
you can
perfect.
Come in the morning and then you can come in the evening to see it finished.
Yeah. And people can look, Trista, at your and come and see your stuff and see your design and
That's
your
right.
pattern and try to figure it out.
Exactly. And if I have a chance, I'm going to try to do some demonstrating of my decorating
that
technique.
Day.
If I can get my hands in the clay that day, but we'll see.
But you could see it on our Facebook page,
too. There is a Facebook page,
yes. We have a Facebook page that has all the information for the event. It's Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, I think, is the Facebook page. And we've also have loaded on the Facebook page everybody's work and a little bio of all the artists.
Okay.
So you can get a sneak peek there of what the work looks like, the bios from the artists, and then the time and the location of the event there. And like the page. If you like the page, then you'll get the updates.
And if you want to see what some of this is about, Sophia Street Studios is right there on Sophia Street, just down from the library. Look for the, I didn't know those chairs were from the old Maury School. So
that's right.
You cannot miss the chairs,
because
I've always thought I want to go in there just because of the chairs. We are out of time. Trista Chapman, Scarlett Pons have been here. Sophia Street Pottery Throwdown, June 10th, 10 to 5 on Sophia Street. Thank you so much. Looking forward to June 10th.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
That is it. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.